Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
This morning, I want to share with you about something called calling and separation. Now, if you have done Bible school, that would ring a bell with you. That's one of the subjects that we do right on first year Bible school, calling and separation. And what I'm going to do this morning, I'm not really going to preach to you. I'm going to tell you a story. Jesus told stories all the way. So I thought 1 John 4 says we like him. So then I can do the same. I'm going to tell you not just any story. I'm going to tell you a good news story. And I'm going to tell you a good news story, which is my and Natasha's story. And it's a good news story, and I'll show you why. So, ministry was never really something that I thought, okay, this is for me. Not really something that I got excited about. And even though I had grandparents who was a Dominees and I grew up in church and all of that, it was not really something that I would say, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I decided to study industrial engineering. And I can honestly say that one of the two reasons for that was, one, I didn't know what to do with my life. And that was the course that they said you can decide after 4 years. So you do this course, you have a degree, and then you choose what you want to do. Now, life doesn't work out like that because you sign bursary contracts and you move in directions and stuff like that. And the second reason is that I wanted a navy blue BMW 3 Series. Okay, so I'm going to be honest this morning. I told you it's my story, so I can't make it up. That's the true fact. God knows it. So I'm still waiting, but that's not the story. It was such a... When my brother is 3 years younger than me. Now, we went through a few things, and there's reasons for it. But yeah, we love each other dearly. And when he came to matric and he had to decide what to do next, now obviously as an older brother, he like asks me, how is it and what do you do and are you happy? And I mean, I'm still studying, so I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know what I am, what I'm learning. And he mentioned something like he maybe wants to go into ministry. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to do that. But it's your life, so maybe. He then decided to also go industrial engineering, and I neither take the blame nor the credit for that. You can decide. Okay, so, but everything changed for me. Everything changed at a New Year's Eve party. I think it was 2008, because I think it was after 12. So make it 1st of January 2008. My life is at a low point. I'm a student, just ended second year. And I'm at a Straatligkinders, if you don't know them, I won't give my age away. A Straatligkinders rock show. And the guy sings, ek fail, ek stikkend, ek gebroke, maak my heel oor hier. Not what you would expect to hear at a rock show. Now, he didn't say it as softly and on that tone. It was more shouting, screaming, drums, lights, smoke machines, people all over. But that stuck with me. That hit me right where it wanted to hit me. And I went to the beach, and I said, God, that's me. Now, I need to add that I wasn't 100% sober when I did that. So the next morning, I lie in my tent, and my friend next to me plays a song on his cell phone, which is exactly that same song. And I realize what happened last night. And I go back to the beach, and I say, God, here I am now, 100% sober and 100% as committed as I was last night. Come into my life and just take my life. I give it over. I mean, I've gave my heart to God many times before that. But when I gave him my life and I said, you need to come in here. You need to pick me up from where I'm now. This is where I got myself. This cannot be where I'm going to end. Because from here, it just goes downwards even further. So the loving Father that he is, cleaned me up, made me whole, put me on a place where I can be embraced in his grace and his love and his goodness. And that changed my life radically. Now, he didn't just make me clean, healthy, and whole. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So it went further than that song. It didn't make me clean, healthy, and whole. It made me new. It made me a spirit man. It made me like him. It may be a completely new species of being, a completely new creation, a completely new creature. I've read a book once about that scripture, and it literally, I think, took every translation of the Bible and took that scripture and wrote a paragraph on the way that that interpreted it. And it takes some renewing of your mind to get there. Now, shortly before Jeffrey's Bay Beach 2008, a friend invited me to a life group in Pretoria. Now, I go to this life group where I would meet a lady called Alicia. Now, that lady is now leading our church plant in Albania. At this meeting, this life group meeting, two things happen. One is I meet what I think is a crazy woman. Okay. She says, awesome, awesome, awesome. Everything is awesome. This is awesome. God is awesome. Love is awesome. I think they actually borrowed her to write the Lego movie soundtrack that everything is awesome. If they didn't, she needs to go back and get money for that. I promise you. That's the first thing that happened on that evening. The second thing that happened on that evening is that she shared with me and the group the gospel, undiluted, unadulterated, and just like God mentioned it, planned it and finished it for us. She said that she heard, I think it was a week or two ago, and it changed her life completely. It got her from depression into this excited, semi-crazy woman, all because she heard the news, the good news, that God will never again hold your sin against you because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Now, I believe the seeds were planted that night for what happened on the beach a few months later. Sometimes you sit in church and you come and you hear a message or you listen to something online and you're like, it's good, but you don't see the impact in your life on Monday. Monday, you feel like, back to the dread. And then 2 weeks later, you get a revelation. This one happened to me at Bible school. I was like, yes, Natasha, I got this revelation. And she's like, that was 2 weeks ago in Bible school that we did that. Like, okay, but now it's mine. Now that seed has come to life, that dead seed is now bearing fruit. It's growing roots. It's impacting me. So what I encourage you with that is if you want to take a word, when you take a seed, when you stand on it, when you plant it in your heart, don't worry. The word says that when you plant a field, you go to bed night and day. You don't worry. You don't know how it works. You know it's not for you to make the seed grow. It's for God. He put the power in the seed, not in you. The power's in the seed. You just keep the seed there. Don't grow it, dig it out and look at it and put it back and dig it out and look at it. Leave it. Let the seeds in your heart grow. Let them go roots, grow deep into the love of God. Okay. Fast forward a few months, and you find me sitting in class at Tux. Now, I'm not from here, so I'm from Tux. Tux of Nix, as they say. So I'm sitting in this class. Now I'm still a student, recently born again, completely changed. Friends with Alicia, the semi-crazy woman. Still friends with her. Love her dearly. Love her husband. So she's going to watch this, so she would know that I love her. So I'm sitting in class, and it's one of those classes where I'm not really listening. Like probably Friday afternoon after 2, there's Super 12 back then still on when we still watched it, when it wasn't 20 games or 20 teams or whatever. And I start drawing pictures and writing and scribbling on my notepaper. And I write, and I draw a shield, and I write faith, because it's the shield of faith. And I start drawing chains, but not just any chains, broken chains. And I sort of like this picture, and I pull it out, and I put it actually on the inside of my cupboard. And the more I keep this with me, the more I realize, but listen, there's something to it. I think God wants to tell you that He wants you to help set the captives free. And I keep that with me, and I take it as I move houses, and I put it up. And I just keep that with me as a reminder. Now, this was confirmed in 2010, when God gave me Isaiah 61:1, which says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and that prisoners will be freed." And when I read that, I was like, wow, God, that looks like my picture. That rings true in my heart. That is exactly what I couldn't word it before, but that words it completely what I feel in my heart, what I feel I want to do with my life, what I feel that you've empowered me to do. So, during 2009, we're now jumping just before that again, my final year as industrial engineering student, I served on the TIC missions committee. So we would do outreaches on campus, and we went to Swaziland twice. And now, as you would have it, there's a lot of theology students also on the TIC missions committee. Now, at that stage, I'm listening to Joseph Prince, and I'm going for grace, and I'm spending time with God, and I'm just enjoying it. Can't really find a church exactly where I fit. You think you fit, and then you're there for 2 weeks, which is awesome, and then the next week they change their message. I'm like, how can you? There's only one message. That's a long story, but in this, I share some of my revelations with some of these people on the same committee. And they seem to look at me weird, like, it's not really how the Hebrew explains it, or it's not really this or that. And they look down on me almost, and I'm like, okay, God, what's this now? So again, God shows up with a scripture. He gave me Acts 4:13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Like, okay, I was perceived as unlearned and ignorant in those circles. Yet they marveled and they took knowledge that they have been with Jesus. And it was as if God just told me in that instance, like, it's not about the papers. Not about the degrees. It's not about what the world thinks. If you want to see, make God visible to the people, if you want to help set the captives free, spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus and the people will marvel, the people will realize, the people will see. Listen, but this boldness is different. It's like Jesus when he taught and the people said, he teaches like no other. He teaches with authority. He teaches with boldness, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. And I made that a mantra in my life. It's not about the papers. It's not about the certificates. It's about spending time with Jesus. See, you don't focus on boldness. Boldness is a product of spending time with Jesus. You don't focus on being who you're not. You focus on spending time with Jesus. And the people will see that you are bold. The people will perceive that you're different. The people will marvel. And they ask you, listen, so how many doctorates and no, nothing. What? No, I've got Jesus. I've got Holy Spirit. I'm not good enough for this. I need him. And guess what? That's how he planned it. And they will marvel and they will enjoy because it won't be secondhand. It will be alive. It will be them. It will be God in us. So, I might have been unlearned and ignorant in the eyes of the world, but the people started to take notice for one reason. I was spending time with Jesus. Not in theology, not just in the Bible. You can spend a lot of time in the Bible and miss Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. I was spending time in grace. Grace has a name. The name of grace is Jesus. Spend time with him and you will be different. Okay, as I said, this taught me an invaluable lesson. In order to get equipped for what lay ahead, I had to spend time with Jesus and I'll delve deeper into the only true good news message of what he's done on our behalf. If I had and wanted to be different in life, if I wanted to be bold, if I wanted people to take notice of what I have, not of me, of what I have inside of me, there was only one thing I needed to do. Spend time with Jesus. How difficult is that? It's a privilege. You come out refreshed, you come out alive, you come out built up, and yet you can impact and you can do what you're called to do. So, Jesus is my teacher and he has and always will give me the wisdom, boldness, and direction that I need to walk out the calling for my life. In this time, I also met a beautiful, godly woman named Natasha. Now, just a quick story there. My grandfather, he was a minister full-time, and I won't bore you with all the stories. I only have a set amount of time. And he gave me one piece of advice, and he said, find a wife on an outreach. I'm like, but why? So that she has my heart and ministry, mission and ministry? He said, no. Says there where things don't go as comfortable and as easy as they go behind closed doors maybe and in the movies, go find a wife there where you can find someone who can stand up in tough times, Who's still pretty if she doesn't wear makeup? Who still takes you when you haven't showered for 2 days? Find a wife there. Now, this happened in Swaziland where I met Natasha. And then, obviously, we grew a relationship from there. What I would think with that is you don't need to go on an outreach to find a partner if you haven't found one. But remember that there's a for better and for worse part when you marry. Hollywood tells us the for better part very nicely, and it's always a backtrack, and there's good lighting, and there's doves and butterflies. There's a for worse part as well, when life really happens, and that's when we need to stand together. Now, this wise grandfather of mine was also a full-time minister who knew, preached, and passionately shared the love of God. Yet he might not have had a full revelation, but with what he had, he did the best that he could. They loved people. My grandmother still does. She's 84, I think, and she ministers in her old age home. Okay, so she ministers so well that the Dominee says, listen, I can't make it, but you go. She shared what she teaches with me, and I've shared it with you. You don't even know it. That's how awesome she is. Okay, so my grandfather passed away in 2010, and the afternoon, the funeral was the morning, the afternoon, my mother receives an SMS from a pastor that attended the funeral service that rings something like, your son Peter will take what your father did further. I'm like, not really in my plan, but in that sense you feel like, okay, you almost give yourself a, let's see, okay. And then you realize what it means, and you're like, okay, do I really want this? So I left it, thought about it again later a few times, and obviously just embarked on this career as industrial engineer, so this is not obviously for me. So during 2011, I decided the time is now right to marry Natasha, and on the 10th of March 2012, she became my wife, my helper, and my greatest supporter. I think one of the words that we got for our wedding is that together they will glorify God better than alone. And I believe that is 100% true. I mean, the wisdom and guidance that I and love I receive from her is just immeasurable. So we're in, living in Heidelberg, Gauteng, not Heidelberg, Western Cape, and get married. The last day of our honeymoon, I get an email on my phone, a job offer to ShopRite Checkers in Brackenfell, which we thought then is Cape Town. Now that we've moved here, we're not talking about Cape Town anymore, but that's a story for another day. So, we always said we wanted to make a Kaapse Draai, but never that quickly. So, now we sit with this situation. I mean, we just signed basically 12-month contract. She lived there for 2 months in a three-bedroom house. So, we had 10 months left on our lease. I was still working back my bursaries, which I had 7 months left, and now we have this opportunity. Now we pray about it, we find counsel, and we try and decide and what to do. And my brother-in-law tells me, listen, you're probably not going to get the sun moving up the steps or down the steps. You're probably not going to get a wet cloth and a dry cloth. He says, just make a decision. And I thought, okay. What do I need to do to make this decision? There's two decisions. I need to make one of them. One is I stay where I am. The other one is I pack up and I go. And for no reason, but just I felt to go more at ease than to stay, we did it. Now, later in Bible school and in Grace Life, I learned that Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So I practiced it without knowing the principle, but yes, it worked. So I'll do it again. Okay, so we pack up, we come, God sends new people to take over our lease contract. He makes Marion Roberts forget and lose my papers, so they send me off with flying colors without any debt. And with that, Natasha also had to resign a job. So she had a well-paying job as a dietitian. We thought, yeah, I mean, Cape Town, quick job. That wasn't the plan, or that doesn't how it worked out. So, yeah, big up for her as well for giving up that. So, I need to pause there and say that we didn't move to Cape Town for Grace Life. Okay, it would have been nice. It would have been a nice story, but it wasn't her. We knew two people in Grace Life. We knew Henning and we knew Alicia. Now, Alicia, by that stage, had a call from God in a dream. She moved. She'd done internship, and she got even more excited about Grace. Okay, we still kept in contact. We enjoyed spending time with her. And when we moved down, now obviously they were inviting us. Yes, yes, you're coming to Cape Town. You're going to come to Grace Life. And like, I'll find my own church. Thank you very much. I'm a big boy now. I can work things out. So we live in Somerset West. And we go visit a few places there. And we go on an outreach. If you want to see what a church is about, go on an outreach with them. That will shake things up quite a bit. So we went on an outreach on a wine farm. And I was just, something was missing. And I like, God, something's missing here. Now, God's not saying, yes, go to Grace Life. No, he's not saying that. He just acknowledges it almost like, yes, there is. So eventually we say, okay, Henning, Alicia, just stop nagging. We'll drive to Stellenbosch. Grace Life was still meeting in a Protea Hotel there by Techno Park. And as I walk in, there's a banner that says it's all about Jesus, his message, and his mission. And boom, in my heart, it struck a chord. That what was missing in all the other places is right here. Okay, forward a bit more. Come up to Shane one night. He shares on sovereignty. If you don't know what that is, there's Rooted at the back, the last lesson. And he rips the bottom out of my life completely. I come up to him and I said, listen, we don't know each other that well, but what you just shared shook me. Please pray for me. Like, I don't know what else to say, but you need to pray for me. So he gives me a word. He prays for me and he says, I see you as a little boy on a couch. And God just wants to say what happened there was not his plan for you. Like, okay, that's weird. I can't remember a little boy on a couch. And as I basically walk out, we were at that stage at Rhenish already. It struck me that I was 5 years old on a couch. And my brother then was 2 years old. He was 3 years younger than me, or still is. Obviously, that gap stays. And my dad walks into the room and he says, "Jou ma se water het gebreek, pak jou boetie se tas. We're going to the hospital." Now, I don't know what "jou ma se water het gebreek" mean when I'm 5 years old, but I can see in my dad's eyes, this is serious. Okay, so what happened there is basically, long story short, is my sister was born very prematurely. There was a life fight for her and for my mother at that stage. They both survived, they're both awesome. But what happened is it changed something with me. It made me become responsible at too young an age. I mean, I potty trained my brother when I was 5 years old. Things like that. And where God just came back and said, listen, I never planned that for you. I wanted you to be a kid. But there was an attack. And now I promise you that the relationship between me and my brother and my family is even much better than it was. Because now we are not like this. We're brothers. We're brothers and sisters, we're friends, we're family, like it should be. Okay, so back to my story. We didn't come to Cape Town for Grace Life, but God had other plans in mind. So back then, Natasha joined the first Rooted course. Now, Rooted wasn't a book, it was a course. It was 3 months, it was 3 days a week, and remember, she had time because she didn't have a job. So she attended that, and slowly but surely, we got more and more involved. So in December 2012, that's the year we married, the year we moved down, the year she did Rooted, we volunteered at Grace Life's first Good News Conference. Arthur Manches, if you haven't heard about him, you will still. He came and he ministered that the judgment of God is done. It's completed. It was completed 2,000 years ago. And I mean, I and Natasha, we were out of our seats with excitement. We were just like, this is too good to be true. This is amazing. This is almost, but it is true because it's God. And we got so excited about this. And I was like, wow, wow, wow. Now, at that conference, I made a decision that I want to dedicate my life to share this good news. Because I know what it did for me. I know what it's done for others. And I know there's so many who hasn't heard it before, who still needs to hear it. Now, with that, I set up a meeting with Shane, and it's one of those meetings that you know, this meeting is not just a short by road. This changes the direction of your life forever. And I knew that if I go forward with this meeting, it will be like that. So, yeah, very obviously a bit nervous, still went through with it, also very excited. And here I must commend Shane for what he did. Is he sat back, he listened to me, and he said, awesome. Take it easy. Do Bible school. I was like, what? I'll resign tomorrow. Like, he said, no, let's make sure. Let's get you ready. Let's prepare. I mean, what a gracious way to be guided, to be led. And I mean, in that place, I just found safety. I'm like, okay, this man has got my interest, best interest at heart. More than that of the ministry. Because, I mean, the ministry probably could have done with me being there full-time, coming intern. Yet we said, okay, that was December, January, enrolled for Bible school. And, yeah, just with a peace of heart in heart that we would not rush, neither be rushed into anything. And sometimes in life we make harsh and hasty decisions. But remember, God has got eternity. So you feel like you've wasted 2 weeks of your life. I mean, God is like, okay, wow. Not that big a deal. You might feel like you wasted 20 years, 40 years. We sang the song, God restores the wasted years. If you have a calling on your life, God is not saying, listen, you best before date has this expired. It has come and gone. Your calling is revoked. No, it says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So it's never too late for you to step into what God has called you to do. If it's 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, until you pass out your last breath, you still have a chance to do what God has called you to do. It might look different than what it would have looked, but the calling remains without repentance, meaning God will never revoke it. He will never pull it back. Okay, so we did Bible school, and after completing our second year, I realized, and I shared it at the last night that we graduated, is this is not the end of something. It's not now that I know, now I can move on. No, this was like, I need to learn a lot more. I now know a bit how to learn, but that's it. I mean, this is going to take the rest of my life. And what an exciting prospect to know that God's goodness is going to take the rest of my life, and yet then I still would not have gotten to the end of it. I mean, the beasts or the creatures in heaven, that's full of eyes. Every time they see God, they like pass out, almost like we did now with worship. Like, he's so good. And then, I mean, they've been there for how long? They've got so many eyes, so they can't really miss a thing. And then when they saw God, they're like, wow, God is so good. And they worship and they praise. And it's the same for us. Every sermon, every day, every time you spend time on the Word, God has got a new piece of His goodness, a new angle, a new piece that you don't understand yet that He wants to put in your heart, that He wants to grow, a new seed that He wants to plant, a new fruit that you've never tasted, a new piece of life, a new piece of light that He wants to shine and take that one shadow just out of that corner. Now with that, I might just veer off a bit. Sometimes we feel like we don't want God's light to shine on us because it will find all the dark spots. I want to tell you, there's no dark spots if you receive Christ. There might be shadows. And for a shadow, the best thing is light. Because if you shine the light, the shadow leaves. If you think there's still something, some chochas or something there, see God as a UV light. That is a disinfectant, so He just cleans it out. He's not there to condemn you and look for your sins with a headlamp or a torch to search it out. No. He's there to show you how clean you really are. If you open the lights and you shine the light and you open the curtains, the moths and all the things leave. So allow God in your heart. Let His light shine. Don't keep that door closed because you're ashamed of what's on the inside. No matter what it is, no matter how big it is, let the light in. The light brings life. The light will show you how clean He has washed you. The most beautiful picture in the Bible for me is God takes a filthy sinner, He brings red blood, and He washes that filthy sinner. And the red blood makes that filthy sinner white as snow. I mean, where's science? You can't do that. But it's because you're white already. And then the world just chucks things on you, and then the blood comes and washes you and shows you this is who you really are. This is actually who you've been all along. This is who I made you. This is who I planned for you to be. This is how I created you. You only need the blood of Jesus to clean you. Okay, back to my story. Remember, it's story time today. So during this time of Bible school, I get a message from Shane and said, listen, we're going to do a series and I'm going to ask a few guys to preach and I want you on the list. I'm like, I thought that's after Bible school. I thought that's after internship. I thought that's down the road, man. And I was like, oh, well, let's do it. So things changed quickly and the same week, we decided we're moving from Somerset West to Durbanville. Without us knowing, Grace Life decided to plant a church in Durbanville. I'm like, okay, that's that's a coincidence. That's quite comfortable as well. So we started serving there, got involved there, and then October 2014, we were still in our second year of ministry school. We got the opportunity, and we were ordained as leaders of the church there, which was also a lot quicker than what we planned. But you see, if you take it with God, then who cares? I mean, he's gracious. So, lifelong discipleship, Bible school done. I'm home alone during 2014, chilling, lying on the couch, Natasha somewhere out with the girls or something. And I decide I'm going to brave the 1953 Afrikaans translation. Okay. Now, my upbringing was 1983 Afrikaans translation. My grace story was written in English, not King James back then, more NLT. Now it's more King James focused. But I was decided, okay, but I want to be bilingual in the gospel. I mean, I can speak Afrikaans and English, but can I preach both? Yes, I'll get to the other languages later, but for now I've got two languages. Let's be competent in both. So I'm lying there chilling, just reading, and I come across 2 Corinthians. Now, Corinthians for me is always very interesting because there's just so many practical things that those guys just missed. And then I feel like, yeah, we just like that sometimes. So, and God yet still calls them, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, they just come from temple prostitutes. And God says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Like, wow, that's big. Okay, it's not what I was looking for there. But I'm reading 2 Corinthians, and I'm actually just like a storybook. And I come to verse 14, and it says, moenie in dieselfde juk trek saam met die ongelowiges nie. Want watter deelgenootskap het die geregtigheid met die ongeregtigheid en watter gemeenskap het die lig met die duisternis? I'm like, okay, that's now Afrikaans. If you don't understand that, I'll have the English up later. It basically says, don't pull on the same yoke as the unbelievers. Now, there's a lot of sermons about this who talks about don't go marrying an unbeliever. And that's also the context, I believe. But for me, this struck a different chord because I wasn't looking at marrying an unbeliever. I was already married, happily married to a believer. So I read the scripture and it's like something stirs deep inside of me, almost as if this section of scripture was speaking about something very particular to me in my situation. But then you think about it and it was like, but Paul wrote this almost 2,000 years ago. How can that be? Now this is going on in my subconscious while I'm still reading. So I get to the next scripture. So what I do is I read on. I get to the next scripture. Verse 15 says, in watter ooreenstemming het Christus met Belial, of watter aandeel het die gelowige met die ongelowige? As I read on, I realized that this has got something to do with my day job. The yoke that I'm pulling every day, the work that I'm doing. So I read on. Verse 16 says, of watter ooreenkoms het die tempel van God met afgode, want julle is die tempel van die lewende God, soos God gespreek het, ek sal in hulle woon en onder hulle wandel, en ek sal hulle God wees, en hulle sal vir my 'n volk wees. So this stage, I'm almost like breathing out that sigh of relief, okay, I might have misinterpreted a bit, and the scripture's now actually taking a turn away from where I thought it's going, so you, nice, okay, got out of that one. Maybe made up my own story, maybe I want some things that God doesn't want for me. So what I do, I read on. Verse 17, daarom gaan onder hulle uit en sonder hulle af. Like, whoop, what does that mean? Spreek die Here en raak nie aan wat onrein is nie, en ek sal julle aanneem. I'm like, God, what is this? I thought we getting out of the woods here. I thought we away from where I thought this was going. Yet God is clearly making his point. I thought it's only my subconscious trying to tell me to leave my job at first. And I read it again. And it's like, gaan onder hulle uit en sonder hulle af. Now you see, God has a sense of humor. Because if this was English, I could have explained it away. But with my mother tongue being Afrikaans, and this being as pure Afrikaans as you can get, you can't really misinterpret that. So that stuck in my heart, and I'm like, okay, God, how's this going to work? This is quite scary. This is quite different than what I had planned. This is not the route that I set out for myself, but it very much sounds like this is the route that you set out for me. I mean, I got a SMS at my grandfather's funeral. I've got a lot of prophecies in my life, and I've got this feeling and call. So what do? I read on. The question in my heart being at that stage, God, how are you going to take care of it? How are you going to supply? What do I need to do? So verse 18 says, En ek sal vir julle vader wees, en julle sal vir my seuns en dogters wees, spreek die Here, die Almagtige. And with the presence and assurance of a loving father, it's as if he's just in that moment say, this is not yours to worry about. I am your father. You will be my son. And you will be my daughter, Natasha. And tears filled my eyes. Just with that assurance. And almost that fear that's just like almost drenched in the goodness of God. And like God is saying, you can trust me with this. As big as it is, you can trust me with this. So, this is a good time to make a journal entry or to write things down, mark a mark in your Bible. If this happens in your life, write the date there. I don't have the exact date. I know the year, 2014. I think it was about this time of the year. But I want to encourage you, if you ever get that and you just feel like that scripture is not written for the Corinthians, it's written for you. Because the scriptures are life and spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're not just letters on a page. And if you're born again, I mean, your spirit communicates and feeds on spirit. So yes, that will happen in your life, I promise you. It might have happened many times already. So, do we have the English there? Okay, just for completeness sake, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part as he that believed with an infidel, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the God Almighty. So you can't even blame the Afrikaans translators for misinterpreting it. If you go and read the English, it says exactly the same thing. Okay. I then ask God, listen, God, what does this to be separated mean? It's one thing to go out and be on your own. What does it mean? Why? He gave me Romans 1:1 and says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So that is what separated means for me. The gospel of God. The Amplified Bible connected the dots even further. It says, from Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, called to be an apostle, a special messenger, set apart to preach the gospel, good news of and from God. So what I'm telling you today, and what I'm telling you is my story. And I'm telling you my calling story. Now, my separation story didn't begin 2 years ago, or it actually did. But I didn't go out the next day and resign. I did that on Monday this past week. And next week, I'll share with you how I got to that point and how God grew that. And where I'm going now, I don't know exactly what it looks like. But I know God provides seed to the sower. He provides bread to the eater. He'll provide the opportunities and the provision that we need. Because He's our Father. He's the love. He's the grace in our lives. So why do I share these intimate moments with you that happened with me and between me and God about the last, 8 years of my life? Because I want to use this to encourage you with the fact that God is alive. This is not coincidence. These lines and these things that happened, that's not coincidence. God is present. God cares more about you than what you care about yourself. God loves you more, and He loves me more than we could ever love ourselves. To a certain extent, I think He actually loves us more than Jesus, because He gave Him up for us. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what your big thing is at this stage, I want to tell you that God has got this. Just like for me, the biggest thing was, well, how do I take care of my family? How do I move forward? How do I take this call and put it into action? The simple words, I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and daughters. Think about it. If your dad phones you tonight and says, listen, come work for the family business, he's going to make sure that you're catered for and cared for. He's going to make sure that you're looked after, that you're respected, and that you do what you're going to be good at. That's the heart of a loving father. That's the know the father that I have, both on earth and in heaven. So what's your big thing? I believe that the time has come for us to take the next step forward to what God has called us to do. Now, I'm not telling you to go and resign your jobs tomorrow. I'm telling you to follow the call that God has placed on your heart. If God has called you to be in business and you're not in business, you're going to be unhappy. If God has called you to be in ministry and you're not in ministry, you're going to be unhappy. Find out. Get that word. We don't walk on water. We walk on the word. Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And on that word, he acted. The water was a byproduct. The water was the natural. We walk on the supernatural. We walk on what Jesus tells us to do. So, to summarize, the corporate world has become more and more of a hindrance to the dreams in our hearts and the eternal impact that we were destined for our lives. And as I said, I shared with you that this past week, Monday, I tended my resignation at ShopRite, and just in that, and the way they received it, is just a testimony already that God is just there. God is just taking care of it, and God has just prepared hearts and fields, and it was really taken in a good sense, and there was no harsh feelings, and that was already a prayer point for us. So the testimony is alive and happening. The time has come for myself and Natasha to change yokes. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Message translation says it like this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? This I want to give to you. Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Maybe you feel like you're running next to this wheel of life. You're not really on the wheel. You feel like you're just so tired and going from one step to the next. God has got more in store for you. Jesus says, come to me, you that labor, you that are heavy laden, you are that tired, worn out on religion, you that burned out doing good works for God, come to me. Come to me. Forget about what you're going to do for me. Just come to me. Remember Acts 4:13. And they marveled and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Makes you different. Makes you stand out. Makes you alive. Makes you passionate. And it's not something that goes up and down. If you spend time with Jesus, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can be just like that. You will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Not a spa, not a Mauritius trip. A real rest. You can go to Mauritius without God and come back tired. You can go home with God and come back refreshed. You can go home or to Mauritius with God and you'll come back refreshed. So praise God for abundance. Jesus says, walk with me. Don't run with me. Walk with me. Work with me. Not on your own. With me. Let me help you. Let me show you. Watch how I do it. Now, Jesus was late for a few things in his life. He was late for Lazarus. He was late for Jairus' daughter. We, like, it's a sin to be late. Maybe on your calling, you think you're late on your calling. You think it's a huge sin. God's not going to forgive you. Jesus was late. He didn't let it stop him. I'm not saying come late to work and all of those things. I'm just saying take it easy. Don't say yes to everything. Say yes to what God has called you. Say yes to where he wants you to be. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Wow. Unforced. We didn't force a little dance when we were worshiping. It was unforced because it was to a rhythm. That's how grace works. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and I'll learn you to live freely and lightly. Wow, at this time of the year, I think this is an awesome word for us. Come to Jesus. Come take a real rest. Not a crazy Christmas family rest. That's not a rest at all. That's nice time spending with family, but you're not going to necessarily come back rested. But if you take Jesus with you, you will. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So yeah, as I said, this is not something that Natasha and I have rushed into. It's been stirring in our hearts for years. Together we have embarked on this mission to impact the lives of real people and change the world by sharing the unmerited love and grace that we have freely received from our Father God. I'll share more about this next week, but one of the principles that we applied was Psalms 37 verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Every time that I got in Bible school, when I delighted, every time I wanted to resign. Every time I felt like it, and I just felt, okay, the time's not right yet. But it's when you delight in God that what is really inside comes out. So don't think, yes, delight in God, and he's going to send me a BMW Navy Blue 3 Series. That's not what this is about. He'll give you what will make you happy. He'll give you what will make you come alive. I'm going to read on. It says, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Wow. It's his responsibility. We commit our way to him. We trust in him. He's our dad. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not for thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. Come to me. Find that rest. Find Jesus. Spend time with him. The time has come for us to become more focused and move forward more purposefully in the direction that God has planned and prepared for us. As I said, do we know exactly what it's going to look like? No. Will God provide the opportunities and the bread and the seed that we need? Yes. And now I'm really concluding. I have a vision whereby we are part of an A-team or a special task force. And it's not just me, it's all of us. We're a special task force for Jesus, filled with and operating in the gifts and the abilities of the Holy Spirit. We go out into towns, cities, homes, and we go and change the world, setting the captives free by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and seeing people become reconciled to God. This includes healing the sick, casting out devils, and raising the dead. Whenever I speak of this dream of this dream of this vision, I can feel that my spirit literally jumps for joy. And I feel the most incredible, free, and light feeling I've ever felt in my life. This is summarized in Mark 16, from verse 15. It says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what Jesus gave us. Boom. There's the adventure. Go and live it. Lay hands on the sick. See them recover. You can eat any deadly thing. It shall not hurt you. But what is the mission? What is the mission is not to heal the sick. The mission is not to raise the dead. The mission is to preach the gospel. And then the signs will follow us. So our message, our mission is to share this good news of Jesus. To tell the world that, listen, God is no longer holding your sin against you because his son once and for all. Hebrews 10 says that God no longer remembers the sins and iniquities. 1 John 4 says you're just like God. So if God is forgetful about your sins, you can be too. Please do that. Live in that freedom. I want to close off with Mark 16, verse 19 and 20. It just goes on. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And then it's like, okay, the story stops there. Because Jesus is now off the scene. But there's one more scripture. There's one more scripture. Verse 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Christianity didn't stop the day Jesus went to heaven. It actually started. Mark 16, verse 20, just summarizes what we still need to do today. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. So thank you, Father, your goodness, your love. Lord, thank you that you are alive, that you are truly, truly alive, that you are not just alive, but that you are love in its very being, its very essence, Lord. Thank you that you have a plan for every person, your Lord. You've got a story which is a good news story for their lives. No matter where they are today, no matter where they come from, no matter how certain they are where they need to go, that you've got a plan, you've got a story, and it's a good news story, Lord. It's a story of good tidings. It's a story of glad times. It's a story of freedom and rest. It's a story of light living. It's a story that is inspired by you, that is empowered by you, that is written in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and life and love, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you that we can trust in you because you're good. You're good every day, forever, not just Sundays. You're not schizophrenic. You're not going to get up tomorrow morning and change how you feel about us or change what you plan for us. Lord, you are the same. You are good.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.